Welcome, Chavra. Conference call number 160, Zeichen Council of Israel, Rabbi.
Thank you very much. Question number one. Some posts can apply machal briyim to medications that are taken for conditions that are widespread and do not cause great dysfunction. For example, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggests applying this to sleeping pills for insomnia, as well as for medication for constipation. Shulchan Shlomo 3:28-57. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach concludes Sarachin. This leads to three questions. A. Is this a sheet that could be relied upon the Maisa? B. If so, could it apply to medications for conditions that are widespread in a particular geographic region, such as vitamin D for people who live in northern communities where people do not get a lot of, go out a lot in the winter? C. And could it apply to medications for conditions that are widespread in a particular demographic, such as among senior citizens? All three good questions. But before we get to the questions, which are based on what Shlomo Zalman said, I think it's important to understand exactly what he said. What did Shlomo Zalman say? For that, you have to look in the beautiful Sefer to see what's there. It's not so simple what's there. So let's take a look and see what Rosh Shlomo Zalman said, how he said it, and he's careful with his languages, and let's take a look. So it's important to understand the language of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and I quote it to you. Here we go. The words are important. Machal briyim. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says mineral water. You know, because of its nature. Pills for someone who doesn't feel so well. He writes like this. Let's say, for example, a person takes certain medicines. Quotes a Chidushi Haran. That's where it comes from. Shabbos Kuf Chav Gimel. Kol Dover Shu Motsui Lo Nikra Refuah. See that? That's what the Haran says. So Shlomo Zalman talks about sleeping pills or anti-constipation pills, and healthy people use them as well. Maybe it's comparable to something which a person used to do, a strange practice, which is quoted in the Buchacha in Shin Chav Zayin Os Aleph. If you used to wash their head with whiskey, I don't know. It's not called the refuah, because people do it. Maybe. But then, ends up, as you said, in the Tzorach here. And then he says, someone wants to use, like, no dose, the opposite of falling asleep, to stay up. That's considered the refuah. How many people use it? Doesn't matter. Because even according to constipation, people do certain things. And we still think that it's maybe okay. But here's the bottom line. If you can't sleep, or if you have bad constipation, you're considered mitzvah kogufo, and therefore you can take these pills to fall asleep. We said the manashah. So the basic thing is relying upon Rav Shlomo Zalman that they were chol l'shem b'sakana. Chol l'shem b'sakana can take any medicine. He just throws that in as a sniff. Now, therefore, it seems to me that you cannot rely on the svar of Machal Briyim by itself, and therefore it doesn't matter if it's spread in a region, and it doesn't matter senior citizens, unless you consider all senior citizens who have conditions to be a chol Hashem b'sakana. So that's the basic heter over here. But the other heter seems to me quite problematic. Two, you might use a salad spinner to dry out lettuce on Shabbos. On one hand, it's basically a strainer at serving the leaves and the water. On the other hand, the leaves are certainly edibles when wet, and the Ramah permits straining beverages, which one could drink without straining. I believe the second argument is the more correct one. Some of the Achron talk about salad spinners and say, listen, you have lettuce and it's wet, and you want to get rid of some of the wet, so you don't mind a little bit wet, and you can drink it and use it even if it's all wet. For those two reasons, I think it's okay. Number three, according to Rav Shechter, I never heard it from him, that when one gives a bracha to children Friday night, they should do after Kiddush. If one's father's minig was to do it before Kiddush, what's one supposed to do in this specific case? Continue like his father or change your minig? Of course you continue like your father. I never heard Rav Shechter say differently. I don't understand why. I'll have to ask when I see him. But even if he said it, that's his shita, which is a wonderful Talmud Chacham and the God of Yisrael. But you know, my Rebbe Rav Soloveitcher once gave a long, long yahrzeit to Russia discussing whether you sit or stand when you make Havdalah. And he said, you should sit. So they asked him, what do you do? He said, of course I stand, because my father stood. So we all the shirim to the country, a person should normally follow the minhag of his father. Number four, I give a daf yomi shiur to shacharis in my local shul. It starts 5 minutes after davening and ends. It runs 45 minutes with a hard stop. No running over. People need to leave the work. Recently, the second minyan in our shul has been running later than 10 people, and they ask our daf shiur to sit in the room and, quote, make the minyan, which we do. None of us really like that, but that is life. Can you help me understand what we need to do when the minyan of 7, 8, or 9 is following Kavishas Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Kedusha, Chazaras HaShas, Avinu Malkeinu, Leining? I would like to tell our Mataf members to just ignore it and listen to the daf. Can we be no worse than sleeping men, Shulchan Aruch 55-6? Or do we have to participate and when? That's a great question. It's a sad question. The best solution is get more people to come to the second minyan. But having said that, seems to me that when they reach Kaddish, ignore it. They reach Baruch Hu, ignore it. Kiddush and Chazaras HaShas is more problematic. But on the other hand, you can't, it takes 5 minutes. So you can't leave 5 minutes off the daf. What I'd recommend, and it's just a Shas Atcha kind of a heter, that when they start Chazaras HaShas, everyone stands up, listens to Lifta Kedusha, and sits down. This way, the first part was done with 10 people listening, and then Poskim can talk about once you start, okay, you're allowed to finish, not okay, even if people leave, in certain pretty evident instances. Avinu Malkeinu you can ignore. Laning is also a problem. It's a problem. It's much better if you could continue the daf and ignore the laning, which is not ideal, but again, the daf yom is very important, and they're doing them a favor. Have someone come in from outside for those parts of davening. Number five. So when allowed to set a Shabbos clock on a warming tray, plata, and then place food on Shabbos for it to warm when the clock turns on the tray. Seems to me, if it's impossible to adjust the plata, you don't need the Shabbos clock. And if it is possible, the Shabbos clock will not help. Number six. College student started a successful tutoring business, plans to use money from his profits to expand it in the near future. However, he doesn't have a formal plan of how much he will invest in the business or a timetable for when he will invest it. He has asked how he should handle Mr. Sachin. I thought to advise him to create a dedicated bank account for his business, and whatever he puts in there is exempt from Meiser. Whatever he puts in his personal account is subject to Meiser. If in the future he decides to move money to that business account, It's a new investment in the business. If he decides to move money from the business account to his personal account, it's new income at that time. Does this work halakhically? Is there a better approach? It certainly works. Let's remember, as he's spoken many times in the past, Ma'aseh Kesafim is not the Pasuk Halacha, it's not a Daraisa, it's not a Darabbanan, it's not a mandatory minig, it's a voluntary minig. So, you know, it's a voluntary minig. You have a right to play with it a little bit. I think the rabbi's suggestion is a very good one. Number seven, a teenage boy did not hear his alarm and woke up late, past 4 halachic hours into the day. He wants to know if he should daven right away before Chatzos, or wait and daven Tashlumin by Mincha. If he should daven right away, is there any reason not to attend the minyan at the local minyan factory? Would the answer depend on whether this is a regular occurrence or not? I hope it's not a regular occurrence, but the answer is the same no matter what. He should daven right away with the minyan factory. Number eight. On Shabbos, is there a headman to take pills, which one always takes for daily for Michash B'Yalmum? B. Is there a headman for someone who is with a Michash B'Yalmum to mix his pill into his food and then take it? C. Would it make a difference if he mixed it in before Shabbos or on Shabbos? All good questions. This heter of every day is somewhat questionable. The Shmir Shabbos quotes it in Perek Lamed Dalet of Ayin, Yesh Mekilim. But if you look carefully in the original sources, it doesn't really say that. It says, if you started a medicine before Shabbos, and if you do not take it, you're going to be harmed by not taking it, you can continue taking it. But if you started before Shabbos, and you just leave out a day, it's not going to, some medicines, if you skip a day, it can harm you. You're worse off taking day 1, 2, and 3 and not day 4 than not taking it at all. That's where the heter exists. But in most of our cases, the heter does not exist. If you look at the Orchel Shabbos in Perek Chof, he says something along the same lines. It's a very difficult heter. On the other hand, mixing the pill, that is something which is found. Shmir Shabbos here in Tifhei, he says you're allowed to do it because it's not derech haregila b'chol based on Shin Chof Ches Sif Chof Aleph. The Orchel Shabbos is exactly the same thing, again quoting from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. However, he says you have to take a pill and crush it and put it in your applesauce. You can't just take a pill and put it, hide it in applesauce, you know, as a pill. That wouldn't work. Moreover, it has to be done before Shabbos. That's what the poskim say. Number nine. After her husband made Kiddush and Hamotzi on Shabbos morning, a woman decides she wants to eat yogurt before eating fleishik, while everyone else is eating fish, which she doesn't like. May she eat it during the same meal, or must she bench before eating the fleishik? Must she wait half hour between the milk and the fleishik? Exactly what must she do to separate between fleishik and milk? It would be preferable to her to eat the yogurt before the hamotzi is made. Absolutely preferable to have the yogurt before hamotzi for a variety of reasons. Number one, you have only the problems of milk and fleishik in the same meal. Whole discussion. Number two, between milchus and fleishik, you're supposed to wash your hands, as it says in Simon Pei Tes Yordaya Siv Beis. Look there in the Bar Yashulchan, Ayin Hey. What should else should be done between? You look there, she should rinse out her mouth. 10. Unbeknownst to me, a dyslexic boy spent a lot of time preparing his bar mitzvah parasha and wants to late. On the one hand, there's a concern that he may read some of the parasha without looking inside the Sefer Torah. On the other hand, it would be embarrassing and deflating to the boy. He already has been preparing for so long. What should we do in this situation? B. If asked the chatzchila, the dyslexic boy can lay, what is the proper response? So, first. If he's able to read very slowly from the Sefer Torah, it's permissible and it's advisable for the helping this young man who suffers from this difficulty. And if the person who prepared him will stand right next to him to make sure that he's reading from the Sefer Torah as much as possible, then that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Of course, in a situation in which he doesn't read anything inside, that's a problem. It's a problem. The truth to be told, there are people who are not dyslexic who don't look at every word inside. But we have to try our best to make sure they read as much as possible inside. So the chatchil, but the evidence practice certainly should lay, you should stand on top of him. And you know, maybe what you should do is, if he doesn't do it, take the yad, and as he's reading, he should do it really himself. But if he can't, you should do it. The Rav should sit next to him, take the yad and go along every single word that he's reading slowly, so hopefully be from Toch HaKsav. And lechatchila, if he's able to do that, it's great. If he can't, ask him to do something else, maybe read just Maftar or something, Haftorah. Okay, on Shabbos, they would use a plunger to one's stuff as clogged toilets. Sad story. You look in Shmir Shabbos Kochosa Perikov Gimus if you're base, he says it's okay with a plunger, which is a household plunger. The Tzorech Godel, as he was meant earlier, in Perik Yud Beis, Ha'ara Nun Beis, from Shlomo Zalman. Sadly, there are those who disagree. Apparently, Rabbi Avadia disagrees, unless it's not completely stuffed. The Sugan Ksubas, Tav Samach, that's the source for these sharas. The meaning is to be makel, especially if it's not stuffed completely, and go down a tiny little bit, to plunge it with the home plunger, so it can go down normally. 12. If one is a rabbi that he asks all the sharas to, when he passes away, should one rip kriya? How does he go about finding a new posik? If one knows that the new posik has a different stock for things that he has heard the first posik, what should he do now? A compound question. First things first. Ripping kriya is found in Shulchan Aruch by a Rabba Muvak and a Godel Ador. I've never recommended any of these kriyos for the following reason. I'm afraid of machlokes. You know, we had many gdolim. And the question is, you rip for a Godel number one, not Godel number two. It's an insult to Godel number two. And what if Rabbi Godel number two's Talmud sees you ripped for number one, not for number two, will come and yell at you. What, my Rebbe is not a Godel Ador? So that's why I think it shouldn't be ripped for any Godel, not because they're not Godelim, but because it's hard to draw a line and it could cause a machlokes. And these Godelim would not want a machlokes to be begun because of ripping a shirt for their patira. Now, the more complex question is the new posek, and what do you do? How do you find one? And what if they contradict each other? Well, look, the best thing to do is to try to find a new posek who is close to the former posek who passed away. You know, these posekim, if a person has a posek who's so great, all your shas, you ask him, he must have a charusa, a rebbe, a talmid, a colleague, somebody that knows how he thinks and usually rules like him. That's who you should go to, if possible. Now, of course, could be the rebbe you passed was accessible to you, which is a prerequisite. The other one isn't. So then you're in trouble. You gotta just got to find an accessible rav. Without accessibility, having a rav is of very little help. If there's a contradiction between Rebbe 1 and Rebbe 2, it's a good question. It seems to me that the individual is entitled to follow the old Rebbe. There's a concept of Rebbe Muvak, even after he passed away, and in Teman, the Rambam was Rebbe Muvak centuries later. Others followed the Vilna Gaon centuries after his passing. It's true, that is a possibility. It's a possibility. However, it's not a requirement. You have to have a new Rebbe because new things are going to come up. And it seems to me, you have a right, if you desire, to accept this new Rebbe as the new Rav Mavuk that you're asking all your shalas to. It seems to me that that would be another possibility. 14. If an issue of Maris Ayin to buy a kosher fountain soda at a non-kosher restaurant and then carry and drink the cup which has the store's logo on it, is it a problem of one traveling and purchase it in store at the rest stop and then brings it to the car where he will drink it privately? There's no problem to begin with. Everyone knows. You go to these stores, they give you their logo on the thing, and there's Coca-Cola inside. To me, it's precious that nowadays, given the reality of life, there's no Maris Ayin. 15. In our neighborhood, there's a Minyan factory. There's a sign that says, Minig HaMokom Birkos Kohanim, by every Shachas Minyan. Is it appropriate for an Ashkenazi Kohen to go to such a Minyan and to do it? The fact we damage the choice of the Chasim. It is one of the Sephardic auspices, and the majority of the community is Ashkenazic. Seems to me, this Minig is prohibited. I don't care what the sign says. Minig HaMokom Birkos Kohanim. Since when do they have the right to establish a Minig HaMokom for all the various types of people who come in there? They, from my knowledge, these kinds of places, they'll let you daven whenever you want. You can daven Eidot HaMizrach. You can daven Ashkenaz. You can daven the Sfarad. All this is true. But there's an overwhelming majority of Ashkenazim. Minig Ashkenazim in the Ramah is not to duchim in Chutz Laaretz except for Yontif. That is the prevailing minig of all Nusach Ashkenaz shuls. Doesn't matter who owns the building. It matters what kind of minion it is. Now, if there happens to be a minion for Eidot HaMizrach, then it could be in an Ashkenazi building. Eidot HaMizrach have the minig to duchim every single day. And if they have that real honest to goodness Eidot HaMizrach minion, then in my mind, it's permissible for a Ashkenazi Kohen to duchen. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Shon Shwadran, Zechat Tzadik of Racha, was a Kohen, would go and flapish to the Sephardic minion. He wanted a duchen every day. That's what I was told. But that was a real...
Shepard, you have it in the sink?
I'm sorry? That was a real Eidot HaMizrach minion. Honest to goodness. If it's not... It's not a real Eidot HaMizrach minion, it should not be done. 16. Someone in shul Friday night realized that they were still wearing their fitness tracking device. It looks like a wristwatch, but does not tell time. It gathers fitness data. The Metzius is explained to me is as follows. During Shabbos, nothing happens in an observable way. After Shabbos, when he opens the app, he will see all this activity data that was collected over Shabbos. However, if he takes it off, things happen. The device senses that it's being removed and the lights on the device will blink or flash, etc. Hey, is he allowed to wear this thing on Shabbos if it's already on his wrist on Shabbos? Is it better to take off or continue wearing it? It seems to me a tough choice, but he should not take it off. If he takes it off, he's causing something to actually happen. If he leaves it on, nothing observable is happening. Now, I'm not saying that if it's not pikuach nefesh or for cholish chomer, that you should leave it on Shabbos. It seems to me people are like quote unquote fitness nuts, and they're pretty fit even without having the fitness watch on Shabbos. They should remove it. So, referring to a case where he's big into fitness, and fitness is a good idea, he just forgot to take it off before Shabbos. Now, he usually does take it off, which is the right thing. He forgot it. So he forgot it. You can rely on the people who say nothing's really happening, which is observable. That's a better option, it seems to me, than taking it off, which is going to cause an immediate and very, very observable result. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.